Amen. Mark, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. I am so grateful for the opportunity to be back at Hillcrest. I always look forward to coming because I feel like I'm coming home. And thank you for making me feel so at home. I am grateful to Pastor Tyler. What a great man of God you have to be your pastor. And I'm praying for him and for you that God will continue to bless and that the kingdom will expand because people come to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Follow him in believer's baptism and learn to walk like he walked. So what a blessing to be here today. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to begin to read in verse 21. And I'd like to invite you, if you would, in reverence to the word of God, stand with me as we read. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? And what new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Would you pray with me? Father, how good it is to be in your house this morning. God, thank you that you've already showed up. And Lord, since you're here, I pray that it would please you to preach to us today. Lord, would you just dismiss me and set me to the side and let us hear from heaven? For God, we need the words that only you can bring. We need the message that you have for us. God, it is you and only you where we find any hope. And Lord, I pray it please you to preach today. And Lord, I would that all the praise and the honor and the glory might be credited to Jesus. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. For just a few moments, I would like to talk to you about when Jesus comes to church. When Jesus comes to church. Now, many of you may say, "Well, he always goes to church." Well, I've been to one or two that, well, here's what I'll say. Jesus goes where he's invited. Amen. When he was walking on this earth in the flesh, he regularly went to church. And that's what we find in this account. Jesus has been calling his first disciples, and he came to Capernaum. And I've been to Capernaum. Some of you have too, I'm sure. And every time I go, I think, no wonder Jesus spent so much time here. It's just a beautiful place right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And I know there was more to the reason that he went than just it was beautiful. But man, it's beautiful. I just thought I'd throw that in. And so Jesus is in Capernaum, and the Bible said that in Capernaum he went to church. I'm glad that Jesus has given us an example that we ought to go to church. I don't go to church to be a Christian. I go to church because I am a Christian. Amen. Well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, you're right, you don't. But you do go because you want to live in obedience to what the Lord said. And he said, "Forsaking not the assembling together of yourselves." Amen. I'm concerned that sometimes we go to church and we just kind of go through the motions. Well, we've done it. We know what to expect. And, you know, we're going to get there and start at 10:30 sharp and we're going to end at 12 o'clock dull. We're just going to do what we've always done and kind of go through the motions. Perhaps that's how people went to church at Capernaum that day. But I just have news for you. When Jesus comes to church, it changes everything. When Jesus comes to church, you can just throw your agenda, or as I like to call it, your menu out. Because when he's there, he is the head of the church. And whatever he chooses to do is his prerogative because it's his church. Somebody might want to write some of that down. Sometimes we forget this is his church, it's not ours. I want to talk to you about when Jesus, I just feel like there's so many things going on in my mind. Bless me, help me. Hey, when Jesus comes to church, notice with me, when Jesus comes to church, he speaks with authority. He speaks with authority. It's interesting to me that he's in church and then he is teaching. Now, I don't know how many of the folks there knew and recognized the fullness of who Jesus was, but somebody had enough sense to move out the way and let him speak. We would do well to follow that example. Get out of the way and let him speak because he's got something to say. I'm glad that you have a preacher in your church. You have a pastor who preaches, thus saith the Lord. Because that's what we want to hear. We want to hear from the Lord. Well, at Capernaum that day, Jesus comes in. Somebody got out of the way and he began to teach. And I say they got out of the way because I don't find anywhere they had a sign out that Jesus was coming that day. He just showed up. And so the Bible said that as he began to teach, that people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, doctrine simply means teaching. They were astonished at his teaching. What was it about his teaching that they were astonished at? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's stay in the text, and I believe we'll see it. He said, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority. Not as the scribes. So let's start at the end of the verse. Not as the scribe. Jesus taught not as the scribe. Who were the scribes? Well, the scribes got their name because they spent all day inscribing or writing the old texts, the old covenants. They would take the old scrolls and they would take a new piece of parchment and their quill pen and dip it in ink, and they would write the old scroll onto the new scrolls. I'm not sure if you're aware, but they didn't have scanners. I would say Xerox copiers, but half of you don't even know what that is. Now you can take your phone and take a picture. Something it'll scan it in, be on your computer. Blows my mind. Anyway, they didn't have that. So somebody had to write it. I said somebody had to write it. When I was a child, I remember coming home from school very distraught. And my mother said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I have 10 spelling words I have to learn by tomorrow." 10. And she said, "Well, that's not a problem. You just need to write them. Like, if you write them 10 times each, 10 times, I've got 10. She said, "If you write them 10 times each, you'll learn those words." And you know, I found out my mother's pretty smart. Because if you write something over and over and over, you'll learn what it says. You'll learn how to write it. You'll learn how to spell it. Hey, do you know if you were writing the text every day, you'd get to know what the text says. And so the Bible says that Jesus taught differently than the scribes, but let me assure you that the scribes knew the word well, because they're writing it every day. So they were not hearing teaching from somebody who didn't know, but they were hearing from the scribes on a regular basis what the scrolls said. They were copying it to make another copy, to make another copy, to make another copy. And now the text said they were astonished at the way Jesus was teaching his doctrine, because he taught with one who had authority. See, they knew, the scribes knew what they had written, but Jesus had written what they were copying. There's a, amen. There's a different perspective, if you're with me yet. See, Jesus spoke with authority because his word is authoritative, and he is the one who gave it authority to begin with. When Jesus speaks, he speaks with authority. I said he speaks with authority. That's why when the Word of God says something, that's it. Settled. Done. Finished. Well, I don't like, didn't ask. That don't sit well with me. Well, that's your problem. You've got a problem. Well, I just don't agree with all the Bible. You're wrong. You're a little too narrow on this rock. Oh, listen, I hadn't even begun to get narrow. I'm telling you that when God said it, that's it. He is the, you want to know what's wrong in our society? We've gotten away from the authority of Almighty God. And we got everybody running around thinking they're their own authority. We got people running around saying, well, that's my truth, and you have your truth. That's bull. There is truth. His name is Jesus. I didn't write it. I'm just carrying the message. The Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He is the truth. Absolute truth. He is the authority. I want to ask you, what authority do you submit to? I submit to the laws of the land, because Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But when the law of the land tells me to go contrary to what the authority of God has said, the law of the land's got to come in second. I just don't like that. Have you noticed today in our society that the law is not very well respected? That there's something about when the law, and in our society we see it everywhere, the law is utilized at the whim of those who have some degree of authority over it. God's law doesn't change with the whims of the day or who's in what seat. His law is settled in heaven forever. He is the authority. I just want you to hear me. He is the authority. They were astonished that he spoke with authority, not like the scribes. Ladies and gentlemen, we need more people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who know his word, who will stand and speak with authority. This is what God says. And when Jesus comes to church, his authority is unrivaled. And what he says goes. Now, I've shared with folks before, well, here's what the Bible says, and they don't agree with it. And friend, I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm really not. But you really are wrong if you disagree with the text. Why? Because he's the authority. So when he stood in Capernaum and he taught, they were all amazed at his authority. But don't be surprised by that this morning, because he is the authority. And could I just give you a good word of encouragement? In a world that seems to have very few leaders, our God still sits on the throne. He's still in control, and he is still the ultimate authority. When Jesus comes to church, he speaks with authority. Notice secondly, when Jesus comes to church, demons don't like it. I said demons don't like it. The Bible said in verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Now we know this was not a Baptist synagogue, because there was a man there with an unclean spirit. Amen. Because we Baptists don't have anybody in the house with an unclean spirit. See, when the authority shows up, those who are submissive to the authority get exposed. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting to me, because when somebody is in the presence of the authority who doesn't have the authority, who's speaking to them, they'll cry out. Don't let that get too close. Okay, do let it get close. Some folk are crying out in the house of God all the time. I'm just saying. I'm just reading the text. But we got a lot of folks who cry and complain and yell, and it's got nothing to do with promoting the kingdom of Almighty God. Help us, Lord. And they were in their synagogue there, a man who had an unclean spirit, and he cried out, and here's what he said. Let us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now get this, a long verse, but it's important, because this one who had an unclean spirit recognized Jesus. I don't know if the man who had the unclean spirit recognized him, but the demons recognized Jesus. I said the demons recognize. I don't know if you really believe it or not, but demons are still subject to Jesus. They don't have a thought. The Bible said they believe him and tremble. They know he's real. And so when there's a demon in the presence of the authority, he cries out and said, what are you going to do with us? Because they knew their days were numbered. Because King Jesus was in the house. And so what I'm trying to say to you is, light and dark cannot dwell in the same place. Fire and ice can't be in the same place. And when Jesus stands with authority, the demons recognize who he is. And they ask all these questions. Said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? They called him, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Are you come to destroy us? We know who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, I've come to tell you, when Jesus shows up, demons don't like it, and they will cause trouble. They will be stirred in the presence of Almighty God. When they show up and Jesus is in the house, all kind of manner of stuff will go wild, because they cannot be in the same place. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that a believer and follower of Jesus can be possessed by a demon, but I believe he can be, or she can be, oppressed. And I just want to tell you, be cautious where you go, what you see, what you're listening to, and be careful that you not allow an evil spirit to oppress your life. And you ought to pray them off. Do you know how to get them off of you? Get closer to Jesus, because they can't stand that. And be careful. Listen, don't bring them up in the house of God with you. I don't want to make anybody feel like they can't share if they need to share something, but I'm just telling you, sometimes there's demons oppress people in the church and causes them to say stuff that really messes up the apple cart, if you know what I mean. Just throwing that out there. I want Jesus to be in the church wherever I am because it will upset the enemy. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you invited, don't raise your hand. How many of you invited Jesus to come to church today? Hey, I did. I wasn't counting on any of y'all. I'm coming. I'm going to ask him to come with me. Amen. I'm not counting. That's me. I'm bringing him with me. Lord, I'm going, but I need you to go with me. How many of you told somebody this week, hey, won't you come to my church because Jesus is going to be there? I heard a preacher say he goes where he's invited just a minute ago. Amen. Listen now. Hey, when Jesus comes to church, he speaks with authority. Secondly, when Jesus comes to church, demons don't like it. He causes the powers of darkness to be very upset. Praise be to God. And when we compromise the truth of the authoritative word of God, it makes them feel welcome. You know, we're not here, hey, we're not here to make evil spirits feel welcome or even comfortable. We're not even here to make sinners feel comfortable. We're here to welcome them and point them to Jesus. Amen? So when Jesus comes, he speaks with authority. When he comes to church, demons don't like it. But look at this. When he comes to church, deliverance is available. I said deliverance is available. Look at verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him. Amen. I like that. This demon hopped up. This man starts yelling. And the demon is speaking. And Jesus rebuked him. You know why? Because Jesus is the authority. And he has the authority to rebuke him. But notice what he said. I love this. This is so good. He says, hold thy peace. Now, I just wanted to help you today. Amen. Let me interpret that. Can I interpret that? I'm going to bring it here where we can all understand. You ready? Shut your mouth. That's what Jesus said. Shut your mouth. Hold your peace. Be quiet. Now, he said something else, and I'll get to that in a minute, but we got to stop right here. Why would he tell the demon to be quiet? Can I tell you? He was in church. The people have come to hear from the authoritative word of God, and he was not sharing the stage with a devil. Can we make some personal and practical application? Be careful who you're listening to. Jesus told the demon to be quiet because he did not want the people of God to listen to the lies of the enemy. How do you know if the devil's talking? If it's a lie, he's talking because that's his language. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be careful who we listen to. Jesus told the demon to be quiet because he was protecting his people. Who have you been listening to? I said, who have you been listening to? You know what I found? The more you listen to somebody, the more you'll talk like them. The more you listen to somebody, the more you'll think like them. Hey, who are you listening to? There is one authority. His name is Jesus. I don't care if this world believes that or not. I saw a statistic from 2021 that said 73% of Tennesseans attend church seldom or never. I want you to understand something. I don't care if 73% of Tennesseans say the word of God's not authoritative. That doesn't change that it is. And when every demon in hell wants to rise up and tell us the word of God's not true, that doesn't change a thing because Jesus has taught us through his word that his word is settled in heaven forever and there's not a demon in hell that can change it. Jesus said, hold your peace. You're not taking my time. That's good. He wasn't going to share the pulpit with the devil. Amen. Go ahead, Rock. That's good. Listen. He said, hold thy peace and, he not through yet, and come out of him. Hold thy peace and come out of him. Jesus said, you got to go. Come out. Now, it shouldn't be of any wonder to you of what the next verse says. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out. Let's look at that for just a minute. Because I'm here to tell you, when Jesus shows up, deliverance is available. Okay? Jesus said, hold your peace, don't talk, and come out. The Bible said the demon tore at the man. He shook him. He tore out. He was angry because he'd been put in his place and he didn't want to leave where he was. But he didn't have a choice. Are you with me yet? He tore at him. Now watch this. You know what it says next? He cried with a loud voice. What'd that sound like? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It just said he cried. Well, what did he say? He didn't say anything. He cried. Well, why didn't he say something? Because Jesus had told him to shut his mouth. Hello? That's why he cried, because he couldn't say anything. Because Jesus had just given him his exit and had told him to be quiet. That's why he didn't say anything when he came out of the man. He just cried. And he's out. I'm just reading. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Listen, when Jesus comes to church, he takes control and authority over that which is not like him because he's Jesus. And the demons have to respond to what he says because he is Jesus. When the truth is proclaimed, deliverance is available. And I am convinced there might be somebody here today that's needing some deliverance. Maybe you are possessed by a demon. I want to tell you, our God can set you free. Maybe you're oppressed by demonic work. I've got good news. Jesus can set you free. I've come to tell you that Jesus can deliver the atheist and the agnostic. He can deliver the belligerent and the beguiled. He can deliver the blind and the burdened. He can deliver the cursed, the demoniac, the hater, the prejudiced, the junkie, the addict, the prostitute, the pervert. He can deliver the tongue wagger and the gossiper. He can deliver the sinner, the homosexual, the transgender, the crook, the thief. Why, he can deliver anybody that will call on his name. He can deliver anybody who's chained up, because as an old song says, he is the chain breaker. Amen. I came to tell you, we serve a God who can deliver. Makes me think of that old song, Brother Troy. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, for glory to God, he set me free. Maybe you need to get free today. I said, maybe you need to get free today. I said, maybe you need to get free today. The next verse says, they were all amazed. When Jesus comes to church, he speaks with authority. When Jesus comes to church, demons don't like it. When Jesus comes to church, deliverance is available. And when Jesus comes to church, you leave amazed. Could I ask you a question? When was the last time you came to church and you left amazed? I could tell you some stories that where I've seen God work in magnificent and mighty ways, things we couldn't explain. He just did the inexplainable. But I want to tell you something. I am never more amazed than when I leave the house of God and somebody who was headed to hell leaves headed for heaven. See, somebody here needs to be delivered from being bound up and chained in sin. And I got good news for you. The only way to get free is through Jesus the Christ. And the good news of the gospel is this: whosoever believes in your heart and confesses with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and on the third day God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now that's not just saying, well, I believe. I already told you the devils do that. It's not just saying it. But when he talks about believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, it's literally believing with such a depth of conviction in your heart, your mouth can't help but say it. Amen. Woo, that's good right there. Hey, is that you? Is that you? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? If you leave the confines of this world today, are you going to heaven? Hey, I don't think it or hope it, I know it. Based on scripture. Somebody needs to be delivered from being lost today. I've got good news. Jesus saves. I said, Jesus saved. Well, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, but I know what he did. He went to the cross of Calvary, stretched out his arms with nails, pierced his hands and his feet, a spear pierced his side, a crown of thorns pierced his brow, and on the cross of Calvary shed his life's blood for every sin you had ever committed. And he rose from the dead on the third day and said, if you'll come to me, I will save you. Is that you today? Has there ever been a time in your life that you said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior? Somebody needs to get delivered today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in a moment you'll have an opportunity to respond. Shucks, you come on now. It's fine. It's fine. Just walk on down here and say, I need Jesus. It's all right. I know it's unbaptistic to think you could get saved before I finish preaching, but we'll make an exception. Hey, somebody sits here today and you say, I've been saved. Preacher, I'm wrestling with some stuff. I'm wrestling with some stuff. Maybe you got some addiction issue. Maybe you're having some family issues. Maybe you've got some marital issues. Maybe you got some financial issues. Hey, Jesus is here today, and I just read in the Bible that when he shows up, deliverance is available. What seems to be your problem? Preacher, you don't know what I'm wrestling with. Right, but I know who can set you free. Is that you today? Somebody sits here today and say, Preacher, I just got stuff going on nobody else knows about. Hey, you don't have to come tell me. Look right here. No nail scars in my hands, but you can come to his altar and talk to the one who does have nail scars in his hands and say, Lord, here's what's going on in my life. I got news for you. He already knows, but he said we ought to tell him. Won't you come to say, Lord, I need some help. I need some help. I need to be delivered. What's going on in your life that's not like him? This morning, I'm driving over here, and I just was praying, talking to the Lord, and I prayed that prayer I've prayed so many times. I said, Lord, if there's anything in me that doesn't look like you, just show me so I can confess it. And it's those things in our lives that don't look like Jesus that get us bound up. Let me show you something. Do y'all remember that fellow named Lazarus? He was in the tomb. And Jesus showed up and said, Lazarus, come forth. He come. He is all tied up like a mummy, had all those grave clothes on him. And you know what Jesus said? Isn't that interesting? Look, no, he didn't. He said, loose him and let him go. That's what he wants to do for you today. Because he's here. Deliverance is available. Somebody say, preacher, I've been saved. I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism like we saw this young man do today. Hey, you ought to make that commitment today because it is the first step of obedience for a believer in Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, yeah, I've been visiting this church a while. I think maybe I need to be a member. You ought to come join this church. If I lived over here, I'd come to this church. Lord, have mercy. There might be somebody here and God's calling you to ministry. And you're fighting it with everything you've got. You're saying no, no, no. And he's saying yes, yes, yes. And I got news for you. No peace in your life till you do what he says. I don't know what the Lord might have said to you today. But I just stopped by to say, when Jesus comes to church, he speaks with authority because he is the authority. When Jesus comes to church, demons don't like it. When Jesus comes to church, deliverance is available. And when Jesus comes to church, you'll leave amazed. Amen.